I'm Marie Bernard, host of Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Join me Mondays at noon as we explore the universal energy that connects us all. Let's discuss our journey of self-discovery, joy, presence, and living with authenticity. We can create positive change in the world, and it starts within each one of us. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Mondays at noon on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Hello, welcome to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. Thank you for being with me today. This is CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, or you might be listening in Kamloops at CFBX or online at CITR.ca, CosmicDimensions.com, EmpowerRadio.com, or on the Co-Creator Network. And thank you for wherever you're tuning in from, or maybe you're listening on iTunes or some other podcast application. So thank you for tuning in. Today, we are speaking with a local Vancouverite, and her name is Beck Robbins. She is all about happiness. So we're going to talk about happiness today, what that means, how you can get it, and what it does for you and other people in your life. Welcome to the show, Beck.
Thank you, Marie. It's great to be here.
Thank you for joining me. And so let's talk about, we've only met in person one time. But you're in Vancouver, North Van?
Yeah, I'm in North Vancouver.
Awesome.
Born and raised.
Yay!
Yeah.
And so how, I remember I first found out about you a couple years back when you did one of those web summits.
Yeah, I did an interview, video interview summit called The Secrets to Lasting Happiness, which was an amazing experience. I connected with 31 luminaries from all over the world, people like Marcy Shymoff, Gay Hendricks, people, Leonie in Australia. It was such an amazing group of people with so many different viewpoints on happiness and emotional well-being that changed my life and really changed the way that I exist on the planet. So, yeah, that was really, I think, what brought me together with not only people like yourself, Marie, but so many amazing seekers and finders. So, yeah.
Yay. So you said that it changed your life. So were you not as happy before? Like, how did this come about that you decided to do this web summit?
Well, my quest for happiness has been going on since I was a kid. And it was always this quest, this external quest. I always thought, you know, if I get to this point where I achieve these things, if I had this husband and this baby and this career and all this wealth or whatever, then I would be happy. And it was kind of, everything backfired. My quest for happiness in life really backfired, because the more I achieved, the more I created in my life, the more empty that I felt. And, you know, I wasn't alone. I was talking to a lot of people who were experiencing these things. But, you know, for me, all the searching outside and this constant dissatisfaction ended up having pretty dire consequences in my life, where everything did fall apart. By the time I was 33, I was, you know, I had an illness. I was a sick single mom with no job is sort of the catchphrase that I use now. So this quest for happiness, ironically, looking and trying to find it in the wrong place, had adverse effects. And that drove me to the point where I had no other choice but to turn inside. You know, we all hear stories of people hitting their rock bottoms and having these awakenings. And for me, it was just like I had nowhere else to go but inside. And I spent 4 months in a dedicated meditation practice and caught a glimpse of what I refer to now as really the truth of who I am. And in that glimpse, I started to be shown a lot of truth about me, about the world, about life that I had never seen before. And the more I looked at it, the more I was shown, and it kind of expanded into this map. And this map kind of started to guide me and showed me my own sort of innate gifts and my life's purpose, which is a big part of what I do now when I work with people. Yes, I started with happiness coaching, but, you know, everybody I worked with, fundamentally what I saw was at the core of all our misery and struggle and suffering is this disconnection from the truth of who we are and disconnection from our life's purpose. So that's where I begin with everybody now, all my clients. I am a life coach, and I specialize in aligning people with their life's purpose and co-creating their lives and manifesting their lives as a reflection of that, which is essentially what ended up happening for me as I started to follow this map within myself, which I now have a proprietary system designed around this map called the My Mandala Manifestation Method. But it began to evolve along with me and kept showing me the way to go. And life just really became so much easier. My emotional wellness, a.k.a. my happiness, just suddenly was in place. Not to say, I'm not human. I didn't have bad days and have, negative emotions and things like that. But everything that would come up in my face, it's almost as if I had everything within me of how to process and move through those things based on, my life story and the truth of who I was. And armed with that truth is how I finally stepped into this state of emotional wellness that I've now been able to sustain for, probably close to 2 years. Last year when the summit came around, it was my way of trying to really expand into the world and consolidate a lot of information for myself and for, people in my community, which I had already collected, in my attempt to share my own experience, my own message. And, everybody on that summit just contributed even in a deeper level to my own journey, so to speak. So, yeah, it was profound, but it was really a small piece of a much bigger walkabout for me.
Cool. Yeah. Thank you. Well, I'm curious, I can imagine every client is a little bit different, but what are some of the first steps if someone contacts you and they want some happiness coaching? Can you take us through a bit of the process?
Yeah, absolutely. You mean the coaching, like actually connecting
with
a coach? Yeah. It's funny because a lot of people don't really understand what coaching is or life coaching. Then there are a lot of people who do, but it's kind of an intimidating process or invitation, because when you think of a coach, you think of like, oh my goodness, like I actually have to do something, I actually have to work. I actually have to invest, in myself and become who I'm really here to become. And I think for people who show up for me, whether it's an email or out in the world at a coffee shop or at a networking event, people who show up generally that cross my path are ready for the work. They're ready to, and I don't even like to call it work, it's really play. They're ready to expand into what I call this awakening or this tipping point. For me, I believe, Marie, that we all have a tipping point, an awakening, and it's different for everybody. Some people awaken in their 20s, some people awaken in their 70s, and that's all by cosmic design, that, we predetermine this awakening because we have to have a certain amount of life experience in this sort of ignorance in order to shape our wisdoms and our learnings, and that becomes a part of the truth of who we are that we're here to express ultimately. But, so it's rare that, when people come step forward for the work that that they're not ready for it. But, a lot of people just begin by getting bite-sized information from, I have a website and I send out weekly trainings in the form of video blogs or, step-by-step trainings. I like to do things bite-sized because, we don't have a lot of time in our society to transform and evolve. So I'm really into practical, logical, processes. So I have some free resources, which is usually the first step for people. I have on my website, beckrobbins.com, I have something called the 7-Day Misery Detox, which is, it's literally 20 minutes a day for 7 days where you can get a really good sense of the type of tools that emotional wellness requires. And emotional wellness, incidentally, is one of the 10 sacred practices that I teach my clients in order to align with their life's purpose and live a reflection of that. So that's why I always begin with emotional wellness, because happiness is where I began, right? So I often invite people to try something for free first, so that, you know, clients can get a sense of what that training is like, what that relationship is like, what the language is like, what the medium of transformation and, you know, coming into self-awareness is all about. But then a lot of the time, you know, when people are ready, that's when we go head-to-head, and we spend, I usually spend, you know, a good half hour with people before coaching, before there's even a decision made, just to make sure that there's a good match, because I'm not the right coach for everybody. You know, I find that with all the clients I've had, I feel like we have so much in common that there's a commonality between my clients and myself, and it's rare that I have to say to clients, you know, we're not a good fit. But sometimes I know that people that come forward might be better suited to someone doing this work with different languaging or in a different stage of transformation. So that half hour, that free half hour together with people offers everybody this permission to just let it all hang out, get a clear sense of what is your issue, like what do you want to create and what is blocking you, and what strategy is the most effective and joyful and highest strategy to get you between where you are and where you want to be. You know, so once people come forward and have that sort of intimate tête-à-tête with me, then there's a decision to be made by both myself and the client where we go, are we going to have this party or not? You know, sometimes it's not the right time. Sometimes a few ducks have to be lined up, but then the journey itself is a good 6-month journey, and it's an insanely joyful, transformational, juicy, life-changing experience that not only benefits my clients, but actually gives my clients the skills to sustain those states and those creative abilities, but also teach their children, teach their spouses by either by demonstration or by example, teach their friends the same skill set. Really, being powerful manifestors and being extremely emotional well is not rocket science. It's like a very specific skill set and the right support at the right time. So, you know, this is how I see us changing the world, is in our own transformation and committing, you know, maybe 6 months out of our entire 95 years of life to actually mastering the game of life in a way. You know, what I teach is a living system that involves this sort of three-step process, and it's really something that that I hope to carry on with me into all my lifetimes. You know, as I come back in different bodies and stuff, ironically, I'll probably have to learn it again. But but yeah, that's I don't know if that's really answering your question, but.
Well, it brought up another question, Beck. Mm. Is it Beck or Becks?
It's either. You know, Beck is my name online, but people call me, some people don't like Beck. Some of my clients call me Becca, and my closest friends call me Beck, so I'm not attached to names.
Okay.
As long as, you know, it sounds similar to what I'm used to. I know you're talking to me.
All right. Well, you brought up, you said that you work with your clients to figure out what's your issue. And then my first question is, you know, if I had it down to just one issue, I'd be doing pretty good. And what do you do with people who have like a plethora of issues?
Well, okay, good question, Marie, because it's never really about a plethora of issues. It's usually about a core issue that's underneath all the issues. How we do one thing is life is how we do all things. How we relate to one thing is in life is how we relate to all things. So we each have this pattern of relating, whether it's to ourselves, to our spouse, to the divine, to money. You'll see that pattern of relating that we've learned, it's a learned pattern, and we've learned it through, you know, our belief system, which our belief system is just a construct that we pick up over time to actually avoid pain. And ironically, 95% of our belief system was never consciously chosen by us, but was, you know, assimilated through, you know, the media or our family members. And these core beliefs really shape our behavior and our experiences. Like, we co-create a reflection of our beliefs. if we ever question what our beliefs really are, we just have to take a look around. Whatever's happening to us in our life is showing us what we believe. And when we can see what we believe, that's where the tools come in. That's where we really can start to shift those deep core patterns of functioning. And we find that, Marie, even when I'm working with someone on, say, a relationship issue, that work and that transformation, you know, in healing their relationship with men, for instance, will ricochet and kind of, expand into all areas of their life. Suddenly, they'll have a healing around money. They'll have a healing around, you know, their vocation and their health. And the same applies for the opposite when we're really diving into redefining your career. The amount of core healing that goes on is also the same energy that's causing the discord in our love relationships or health, et cetera, et cetera. So a lot of people think, oh, my God, I've got so many issues. Well, not really. You have, like, a core web of issues that are all interrelated. And once we go in there and tease it out, it really emancipates us, holistically from a lot of our issues. Now, that's not to say that we don't have layers underneath that, because as we continue to expand in our lives and evolve, you know, we kind of brush up against even deeper things that maybe we need to address. But it's like anything, when we become skilled at tennis, you know, we start to do the forehand quite naturally. We don't have to work as hard to do it. So, working through the first sort of process is always the most intense, if that answers your question.
So just to clarify, half an hour on the phone with you as a consultation, and I'm going to find out what my root issue is.
Well, you get introduced to where it's sitting. Sometimes it comes up in the first 10 minutes. And the 6 months following working together is really unwinding and uncovering how that's been woven into the rest of your life. And, you know, there's three parts to the process. There's really, if we can master these three parts, then, I mean, we're home free. So the 30-minute consultation is sort of that, like, okay, that's what makes it tangible. I can see that this is where the root of the problem is, and this is where I need to begin my journey of healing. Then as we heal, which is the first step, really, is healing the truth of who we're not, then we have this great revealing. We start to see, okay, well, this is the truth of who I am. This really is the truth. And in that revealing, that's where we discover really what we're here to create, you know, the desires we're here to create. So that initiates us into inspired action. And then as we create, guess what? We brush up against new things, and that's where we have to heal again, to reveal more and create again. So it's this constant cycle of healing, revealing, and creating. So the 30-minute consultation is very focused on exposing what it is that needs the initial healing. Does that make sense?
I think so, yeah. Well, you've mentioned this three-step process a few times. Can I ask what it is, or is that secret?
No, it's not secret. Actually, that is, my proprietary system, which really is the My Mandala Manifestation Method. That's what I describe, this mastering of the self-healing. You know, if we can become masters at self-healing, and there's generally three things that we always have to be aware of healing. That's the limiting beliefs that I spoke about earlier. Emotional blocks. So when I say emotional blocks, these are things that, you know, unexpressed emotions that are energy systems that are trapped in our body and that are causing us to experience a lot of fear and anxiety. And then the third thing is healing that pattern of relating. So when we're going through life, if we're blocked, we usually just have to ask, you know, which of these blocks is going on here? And when we have the specific tools necessary to heal each one, then we can, you know, very easily go, okay, this is what I have to do to release this emotional block and get rid of the fear. This is what I have to do to change my pattern of relating here, et cetera, et cetera. So that's sort of, like I said, the first step of this mandala system. Then we go into the revealing. Now, the revealing is the juiciest part, because it really is always, you know, remember when I expressed my story to you guys early on in the call, how I caught this glimpse of the truth of who I was, right? The way I like to refer to it is kind of like a map or a blueprint of everything that's ever happened to us, everything that we desire to create, and everything, you know, that we've learned in our lives that includes, you know, our talents, our values, our skills, our passions, our learnings and wisdoms, our desires and our calling. Like, those are all the aspects of who we are. And when we look at that map and we hold that map up to our life and we go, oh my gosh, so is my life really reflecting this picture of the truth of who I am? You know, for instance, if you like to spend a lot of time in communion with your family and friends, but you're working, like, you know, an ungodly number of hours a week, is that aspect of your life in alignment with the truth of who you are? Well, no. So it informs you what actions that you need to take to change that. Now, when you start taking the action, that's where the blocks come up, like fear of, you know, what if I lose my job? Okay, well, then we go deeper. You see how it's kind of like this, you just keep following the path, and at every step of the way, you're either healing, revealing, or creating. And creating is the third step, where we get really clear on our authentic desires, and we start working with manifesting and co-creating those desires. I like to work in solidarity with people, because we're not meant to create alone. And so most of us are out here creating alone, and we feel like so depressed and overwhelmed and frustrated, but it's because we're not supposed to really be out there as islands. We're supposed to do this in co-creative groups. So the last part of the system is really teaching people the metrics of manifestation, which include a masculine and a feminine aspect. So the masculine is what so many of us are good at, you know, the step-by-step action plan, but maybe not so good at the feminine, which is sort of the magnetizing and the embodying the emotional values of what we want to create. So there's got to be a focus on the masculine and the feminine in the co-creative process. Otherwise, you're going, why am I working so hard and nothing's happening, you know? Or why am I meditating so hard and I can't take action, you know what I mean? So, just in review, it's like healing the blocks, revealing the truth, and creating what your soul's legacy really is on the planet. And then it just keeps going around and around and around. So it is a bit of a head spinner. That's why I do work with people for 6 months, so that they get really clear on the process and the tools that are necessary to engage in this living system and stop winging it in their lives. Like, you know that feeling where you just feel like you're winging it? Like, okay, well, I guess I'll wing it today. I guess I'll wing it at this job interview. I guess I'll wing it with this date. You know, there's no more of that. It's all very conscious and clear living. And the result is ultimate freedom and fulfillment and so much wealth, health, and happiness that I've experienced personally through living this way, and so have my clients. And so that's why I'm quite aggressive with people about it. I'm like, come on, we got one life, you know, let's do this. So it's not rocket science, but it's not just like a half-hour consultation either.
Cool.
If that makes sense.
All right, Beck. Well, it is time for a break, so we'll be back with more synchronicity in a moment. Right now, we are speaking with Beck Robbins. You can find her at beckrobbins.com, the number one resource for lasting happiness. Improve your state, heal your life, become the one you love. And so we'll be back with more synchronicity very shortly. I am your host, Marie Bernard, and you can find me on my website, spiritualshow.com.
Come down to the PAL Street Festival this year, celebrating artistic champions. Experience traditional and contemporary Japanese-Canadian performances, including taiko drumming, sumo wrestling, martial arts, visual arts, traditional ceremonies, and so much more. Happening August 3rd and 4th at Oppenheimer Park and surrounding venues, and running from 11:30 to 7 p.m. Daytime admission is free.
On Monday, August 5th, Kurt Vile and the Violators will be playing at the Rickshaw Theater. On tour to support their new release, Walking on a Pretty Days, these guys are, like, super cool. Advance tickets available at Red Cat, Zulu, and High Life Records, or online at ticketweb.ca. sponsored by CITR.
Are you looking for a volunteer opportunity that fits your schedule? Being a big sister takes less time than you think, and you can choose the volunteer opportunity that fits your life. Spend just 1 hour a week as a study buddy, tutor, or 2 hours a week as a big sister. Check out the various mentoring programs at Big Sisters of BC Lower Mainland and find a volunteer position and a little sister that will suit you to a T. Visit bigsisters.bc.ca for more information today.
Music, drumming, dance, transformation, an expression of the heart through voice, the heart opening to love, channeling of intention, kirtan community, yoga culture, bhakti, ancient traditions, modern environment, intentional community, the continuation of story, the ever-evolving mythology, reconnecting with the divine through voice, through song, through mantra, an exploration of chanting. Join us every Thursday at 4 p.m. on CATR 101.9 FM for Mantra. Or check us out on the web at mantraradio.co.
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and we are speaking today with local coach, life coach, happiness coach, Beck Robbins from Vancouver, North Vancouver. So welcome back to the show, Beck.
Thank you.
So how, and we mentioned right in the beginning of the show that you sort of discovered your life purpose. What can you tell us? I mean, did you go through this three-step process, or was it something different for you?
It was a discovery for me, in that this journey of my life purpose really unfolded over, I would say, it probably unfolded over a good 3 to 5 years. And the way that I function as a human being is I'm a very, very logical person. I integrate and consolidate a lot of wisdom. And so for me, in my being led through this over time, I actually kept a really keen awareness of that journey for myself, of how I arrived to discover this truth. Not in the sense that it was intentional back then, going, I'm going to pay attention to how I'm going to find my life's purpose, but just really this deep sense of, like, pay attention to what you're going through, what you're discovering, and what's evolving within you, because you're being shown something. I always had this sense of being shown something. And this has been going on since I was a child, that just to pay attention and keep track. And so, you know, in that story that I shared with the listeners and you earlier, you know, I mentioned that I'd spent that 4 months just glimpsing that truth. And what that experience was for me was kind of like this cataclysmic sort of coming together of sorts, where it was an epiphany, really, of all these different awarenesses that I had accumulated and consolidated within myself that revealed to me this process. Now, I'm not saying that, I made it up per se, but I did take many influences that I had collected in, you know, my realm of study and in my own ability to channel, because that's the other thing that came forward in this 4 months of meditation, was this insane ability to channel information and wisdom that wasn't mine. So at that time, I would have journals everywhere. I would have journals by the toilet, you know, by the toaster oven, scrap pieces of paper everywhere, because I would just, everything I wrote down, I just surrendered to the reality that, it was part of what I was here to do, to take this, whatever it was, almost like silly putty, and make and craft something, craft a journey, craft an experience. And early on, it was more about crafting this experience for myself. And then as I continued to craft it, it unfolded into this, no, this isn't even about me. This is about, you know, the purpose, my purpose being to elicit purpose in others and connecting them to their happiness in that way.
So, Beck, do you have a word or a phrase that you would say is your life purpose that you want to share with us, or is that?
Yeah, I mean, the truth is that we all have, and when I say truth, I say my truth, okay? We all have our own collections of truths. And to me, a truth is what makes me feel good and what makes my life function in the highest expression, right? So my truth is that we all have a collective purpose that's the same. And what it is, essentially, in a phrase, is what you're asking for, is that we're all here to consciously co-create our own reality as a reflection of the truth of who we are. Okay, so I'm going to say it again. We're here to consciously co-create our reality, so our own perceptual experience, right, as a reflection of the truth of who we are. So we're all doing that. Now, most of us are not doing it consciously. We're doing it unconsciously through our beliefs that I mentioned earlier that we're harboring, through our behavior, patterns of behaving and relating, and through our, you know, emotional wiring. So our job really is to become conscious about how to manifest. And then what makes our realities so diverse and so different from each other is the last part of that phrase, which is the truth of who we are, which involves that map, right? And that map is so different for all of us. And it continues to evolve for all of us as we evolve within ourselves. So, you know, yes, my purpose is to consciously co-create my reality as a reflection of the truth of who I am, as I believe is your purpose, Marie, and everybody listening as well. But again, what makes that reality so unique and so different is the code of the truth of who we are. You will have a very specific code of the truth of who you are that is very unlike anybody else's. And so the two parts of like what I say we have to work on really is becoming conscious co-creators or manifestors and also becoming expert revealers to always understand who we are at the most authentic level so that we're creating in alignment with that. Because we all know when we're creating something that's not true for us or something that's not in alignment with, you know, our gifts or our skills, our passions, our wisdoms, it's hard and it's miserable. And that's not really how we're meant to function as souls on the planet. So, you know, my own purpose is just that, to co-create my reality as a reflection of the truth of who I am.
Thanks, Beck. That brings up another question for me, actually, about inspired action and about how when we're on the wrong path, it's really hard. But what about when you move towards something and you're really excited about it, and then these fears and worries start to come up? Mm-hmm. How do you know if that's something that you need to work through and push through the fears and worries, or that's an indicator that you've made a mistake or taken a wrong turn?
Well, there's two, for me, there's two brands of fear. There's, you know, there's the whole false evidence appearing real fear where, you know, we have a reaction to something much like we would if there was like a tiger in our bedroom. Like, that's a real fear, right? If we wake up and there's a tiger in our bedroom, we're going to have a legitimate fear reaction. And we're wired that way. We're actually wired to be afraid because it's a survival mechanism that we have from, 60,000 years ago. We have not evolved much in the last, a few thousand years. The issue that we face as a society is that we no longer really have those real fear triggers. I mean, unless we're, really in the wilderness or dangling off a bridge. So it's being triggered by all these other conditions in our environment that now we've decided things about them, or we've dubbed them our legitimate threats. And so when we have a fear response to something, the first thing we have to understand is that whatever we're having fear towards, there's a 99.9% chance that that thing can't really hurt us. So we are engaged in a system or a belief about that thing on an unconscious level that we believe that's going to threaten us in some way. And if that's, if the fear is really debilitating, that's when we know we have to do some work to work through it. We have to actually do some, exercises, like some of the tools that I would teach. We actually have to go in there and dig it up and transform the belief that's causing that. Now, there's another type of fear that is just sort of like, it's a form of resistance where we're maybe climatizing to some expansion. And, it's actually excitement that's disguised as fear, again, because we can't recognize it for what it really is. And a lot of the time, people think that fear is an emotion, but actually fear is a response to an emotion. And fear and anxiety is what happens when we don't allow ourselves to express an emotional impulse. So, if we're not allowing ourselves to express anger or guilt, that will trigger fear and anxiety. If we aren't allowing ourselves to experience like excitement or a positive emotion, like enthusiasm or maybe empowerment, maybe we're not familiar with the feeling of being really powerful, so we kind of don't allow ourselves to feel that powerful emotion. And so it triggers this sort of this again similar resistance to that emotion. But again, just having the knowledge of what fear is really allows us to deal with it in the most appropriate way. So, yeah, of course, if there's a tiger in our bedroom, we're going to allow our fear response to like kick into like hyper gear and run. But if it's really stopping us from living our lives and achieving our dreams in our lives, then it really behooves us to have like a little toolbox of identification tools to go, okay, what is this fear? What is at the root of this fear, and how can I either eliminate or push through it? So the pushing through fear would be the one where we're holding down positive emotion, a resistance to expand, for instance. And the tools that are necessary for some of the more core, core belief-based fears, and this goes back to childhood beliefs, where we were punished, say, for, not finishing our dinner. And so we have these beliefs about how if we don't, do what other people want us to do, that we'll be neglected or abandoned in some way, which threatens our survival as a child, but no longer threatens our survival now in adulthood. So you can see, like, it is getting quite deep and quite heady. But fear is totally, it's totally workable.
Well, Beck, I'm wondering if it's possible for us to do just a little mini, like I could give you an example and we could talk through it for a couple minutes just to sort of illustrate to listeners.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
And I have to say, I'm being really vulnerable here and I'm actually feeling like fear and judgment just even bringing up this topic. So, yeah. So I went, I had a job interview the other day. It's for this independent contractor job selling knives. And they asked me to work with them, and I was really excited, and the training is later on this week. And at first I was really excited, but then basically how you get clients is that you show the knives, which are totally awesome, to a customer or a potential customer. There's no obligation to buy or anything. And then what happens is that you ask them for a referral of like, well, do you know any friends who would want to see this demonstration?
Oh, like a network marketing thing.
Sort of, yeah. I mean, it's not multi-level marketing, but it's the same idea. Like you're,
okay, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I do have these, I'm not really a big fan of multi-level marketing. And anyway, so my fear around it is, well, if one of my friends gave my number to a salesperson, I'd be kind of annoyed.
Okay.
So my fear is, how is this ever going to work? And I don't want to be pushy, but at the same time, the product is amazing. So it's not like I'm trying to scam people, but I have all of these worries coming up now.
Mm-hmm. So the fear that you're experiencing is really, now I'm tuning into you a little bit, which is what I tend to do on these 30-minute calls.
Okay, cool.
So this has to do with a fear of not being true to yourself and true to your own authentic expression. Because let's look at it this way. Like maybe at some point, and I'm just speaking, you know, to try to elicit some information. Maybe at some point you decided or you had to decide or you created a truth for yourself that's actually not true, that you have to give up the truth of who you are in order to pay your bills or in order to survive. Or somebody said to you at some point, well, you got to do what it takes. You got to work hard if you want to pay your bills. And so that is a belief within you that may or may not be conscious, something like that, right? That's causing you to do something to avoid pain, right? And so there's a couple fears, because there's a fear of the pain of you know, maybe not having, you know, the right job or whatever, not having a job that you love or that works for you. But there's also a deeper fear of that you're not acting in alignment with the truth of who you are, which is your soul knows the cost of that, right? So it's almost like a cry, like, you know, really examine this and find out where is this in alignment, where is this out of alignment? Because let's face it, Marie, if you were giving out your friends' numbers for transformational experiences that would change their lives forever and that would, you know, bring them health, wealth, and happiness, would you even think for a second about sharing that person's number with somebody?
That's a good question.
Because truth in your truth, and I just, again, tuning in based on the spirituality show just teems with authenticity when I, and again, we've only met once, but just picking up on your energy, is that this really is a core expression of the truth of who you are, right? Knives, yeah, sure, they're practical, they're effective, and for some people, people can be very passionate. Like, for instance, if you were a chef, if you were, you know, into food and you had a whole network of people who were working with knives and were passionate about knives, you would not hesitate and you wouldn't feel that fear of being inauthentic and sharing those people's numbers because you would be able to get passion. Remember, passion is one of those aspects of the truth of who we are. You would be able to step into the passion of that without making a decision to do it for a belief that you've at some level decided to be true for you that's not. And we know what's true for us because of the way it makes us feel, right? If we feel fear or anxiety or any negative emotion around something, that's like a big flare that we're subscribing to a lie within us that is disguised in the lamb's clothing as a truth, right? So the great gift in this is that, you know, when we feel like fear or anxiety or, you know, frustration, we're being shown something within us that's not true, that now we can go, okay, let me figure what that is. Let me figure out what that is and let me shift that. Because when we bring it into the light, guess what? When you start realizing, oh my gosh, I'm going to be representing these companies because I believe I have to do this to achieve my life goal of, you know, expanding my message of spirituality or whatever it is. I'm just making it up. I'm just pulling it out of my butt. But that's not really true for you. When I say, actually, there are ways that you can expand your message and your and achieve your deepest desires that are that feel passionate and juicy and in full alignment without any hesitation of ever sharing anything. That when I say that, does that feel good? You know, that there's a way to do it that has absolutely minimal amount of fear and anxiety and trepidation. Like, does that feel good to you?
Not really, no. Because I've been doing this show for so long and like nothing has come up. So it's like, well, I have to do something, right?
Well, so. Yes, but when you're doing, see, this is what the map is so important for, because if you have your map and you have like an extensive picture of who you are in terms of your gifts and your values, okay, values are really important, your skill set, your passions, your all your learnings and wisdoms and your highest calling, when you can see all that on a piece of paper in front of you and you can pull forward like all these, because you've had many opportunities of different things that you're playing with, you're a total dancer in life. And when you pull all those things that you're dancing with forward, like all the partners you're dancing with, and you compare it to this picture or the snapshot of Marie, you'll know very quickly that's the one, right? That is the path to pursue because of its likeness to the truth of who I am. And if you're not seeing any partners in the dance floor that are the same as or that match up with your picture, then we have to go a little deeper and go, okay, so what part of you believes that you're not deserving of that partner? You're not deserving of that ideal, prosperous vocation, for lack of a better term. Where did you decide that's not okay? And how can we shift that? What can the new belief be? And that's, you know, those are using some of the tools. Because here's what it boils down to. Whatever we see, whatever's happening to us, whatever our experiences, and believe me, I'm so very flawed, right? There's so much stuff going on in my environment, too, that I'm like, oh, my gosh, I must believe that I can't manage, that something about time management, like I'm working through a time management belief right now. You know, like I must believe that my time isn't very valuable for some reason. So let me shift that belief and write a new intention around that. You know, because, and I'm shown by what I'm experiencing. To other people, they might look at my life and go, oh my God, you manage your time extraordinarily. How do you do that? But because I'm experiencing that because my perception is unique to me, I'm experiencing that my time isn't being well managed, that means that I have to have a belief somewhere that's causing that reality for myself. So we're treading on, you know, really unconscious patterns and things that are quite invisible to ourselves and, you know, outwardly. But, you know, with enough of asking the right questions, we become clear on what to shift. Now, and Marie, like, incidentally, we could go a lot deeper here, and I don't know how how transparent we want to get, but, you know, I think that in terms of a belief around worthy or not worthiness, but deservingness, you know, this is a big one for so many women in particular, that we don't deserve, you know, our society, we have a social consciousness that women make less statistically, women work harder statistically, you know, there's all these social consciousnesses that we kind of just absorb, and we kind of go, oh, well, that's the way the world is, and they start to play out in our lives, right? But the truth is, we're deserving of making a very prosperous amount of money in our lives, doing what we love, and doing it with ease and effortlessness. That's the truth. To some people, that's very uncomfortable because they can't really. The first time I heard some of these truths for myself, I was like, no. Like, I would fight. I would be like, no, that can't be true. Like, look at the world. But it's almost like we have to suspend our belief, because we have nothing to lose. We have to suspend our belief and try on a new belief. And sometimes it's even like taking stages, like taking steps towards that belief. So, for instance, if we have a core belief, like I'm not deserving of my ideal job that makes me like, you know, $300,000 a year doing what I love. If we have that, if that's our starting point, we may just go to one belief step up from that. We might go, well, maybe it is possible that I can do what I love and make a lot of money, you know? And then once we start to believe that, then we can go, well, maybe it's actually easy to find something I love. And you know, and you start to see evidence as you improve the quality of your belief. And when I say, like, your belief, I'm not saying you just think it once. I mean, I'm saying you immerse yourself in this. Like, I have post-it notes everywhere in my home telling me, reminding me, no, this is what you believe now. You know, if I have to believe the grass is red, I will freaking believe the grass is red if that's what will help me expand into my highest expression in this lifetime, even though the world is telling me the grass is green. You know what I mean? So it really takes that willingness to dig, and then it takes further willingness to rewire what's been wired over these, you know, 30-some-odd years that we've been on the planet.
So I'm curious, Bex, thank you for that. Like, with this job, I actually applied for it because it's out of my comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And I recognize that I want to push myself, and I want to expand, like, my skills and whatnot. And so I actually went in knowing that I was going to be probably uncomfortable. But now that I'm faced with this, now I'm, like, I'm really uncomfortable. So, I mean...
Okay, well, let me take you through your questioning.
Okay.
Why is this job important to you?
Well, number one, obviously, money.
Good, good. So actually, it's not really about the job at all, right? If you had other ways of making money, would you still want to push yourself in this direction with the knives?
I would probably want to push myself in the direction of, like, the sales skills that I'm going to learn,
okay,
not necessarily with that
and
product
line. And if you
line.
Could push yourselves in the skill of developing, because you have a, it sounds like you have a passion towards developing this ability for sales. If you could be selling a type of thing or type of experience or type of product, do you have a favorite product or experience that you would say, hell yeah, I want to sell that, and I want to learn how to sell through selling that? Is there something or a collection of things or a theme that comes up around that?
No, really, if I had it my way, I would just be independently wealthy and never have to ask anyone for money or to do anything.
Yeah, but then think about it this way. If you were independently wealthy, then what would you do? Like, if you had all the money in the world, like, you'd have all this time and energy, and, like, then what would you do?
I would just travel around till I was bored of that, and then I'd probably find something
right.
else to do.
Right. Travel, right? So
yeah.
When you go even deeper and you ask yourself, so what is it that travel gives me? Why is travel important? So, you know, I get a sense of, like, some big life experiences and a sense of freedom and a sense of connection with other people, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when we dig down, like, well, why do I want that? 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 We think it takes selling knives to ultimately get that. When if we just cut to the chase and go, well, how can I create, you know, well, how can I create wealth for myself and the freedom to connect in the world and spread my voice and play and just play, you know? Like, if you could sell playing, wouldn't you love to sell playing?
Yeah, that would be fun.
You know, why not? There are people out there selling playing. I kid you not. There are people out there selling pleasure. You know, there are people out there selling everything you can think of. So if it's authentic for you to want to develop the skill set of sales, like, really, truly, and then if you and I were in session, we'd look at that too. We'd go, well, why do you want to learn how to sell? You know, well, why do you want to do that? Well, why do you want to do that? You just want to go to the very, very core and go, well, did you know that you don't have to go through all of that to get to the core of it? You can just focus on how and what can I do to create the core.
Okay, but Bex,
yeah.
In order to have a session with you, or in order to expand my website or do anything that I want to do, it requires money.
Yes, it does. And money, and this is where I actually build that wealth creation into my model, because I know it's what we project our resistance to evolve on. We project it onto money. It's not really about money, because the truth is money is just energy, right? So money is, like, humans made up money. Before there was money, we just bartered. Like, you would interview me, and I would give you, like, some rice or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Like, you would exchange what you had of value for something that you require that I had of value. So learning to create wealth is a skill set, not for all of my, some of my clients, they have no issue with money. They're just like, I want to find my purpose. I want to be happy. I will pay anything for it, you know? But other people are like, well, I need to get this, because when we talk about healing, so healing our money story and our pattern of relating to money is one of the first things that comes up for quite a few clients. So it's about actually building in that wealth creation into the model. Yes, there's initial investment involved, absolutely. And, you know, in that 30-minute session with people, if that's an issue, then often what I'll do is I'll send over some exercises to open up their streams of income, to start to open up their wealth creation capacity, to enable them to create the money to invest in themselves. Really, because money's a renewable resource, yeah? Time, on the other hand, is not. So, you know, I love it when people ask me about money, because if that's the thing, then the dire need is always the first focus in my coaching with people. We always focus on the most dire need first. What is the most important thing? And, you know, for a lot of people, that is to be able to invest in themselves and pay their bills at the same time, right? Mm-hmm. So that would be the first thing that we manifest. That would be the first co-creative exploit that we have. Through action and attraction and healing and revealing. So again, that healing, revealing, creating, which I will send you, Marie, I will send you a program to get you just supercharged on wealth creation. Not to say, like, to work with me necessarily. I mean, I would be so honored and deeply honored if we ended up working together, but, you know, to invest in yourself to the point where you are living your most highest purpose, i.e. co-creating consciously a reality that reflects the truth of who you are. And the more you do that, the more actually you help all your listeners, the more you're helping everybody around you by example, right? And I'm just speaking candidly, because, you know, in transparency, and this isn't just about you and me right now, this is about a lot of people listening. Like, I'm even sensing that a lot of people can go relate to that and go, yeah, I have that issue too, you know? So the good news is that it's actually not a big problem to fix. It's totally fixable. It just takes the willingness and the commitment and the consistency within us to do what it takes.
Awesome. Well, Beck, it's almost... The show is almost over. We have covered so much today. You are Beck Robbins, and your website is beckrobbins.com. This is Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. Coming up in just a couple of minutes here on CITR is Parts Unknown with DJ Carissa Riffick.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Beck, I'm just wondering if there's any wisdom or anything that you would like to say in closing that I haven't asked you about yet.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the biggest piece of wisdom that came to me was ask for help. Don't try to figure this out on your own, people. You know, ask for help. Get help. Just, it's such a relief. And there is so much out there. There's so many resources, free resources, even to begin with, that can get you what you want. And believe me, what you want is your divine right. What you want is not coming from within you. It's coming through you. It's your job to create it, and your moral obligation. The world needs you to get what you want. So ask for help. That's my last piece of wisdom. And and come by and drop by and say hi. I'm also on Facebook at Becoming Happy. Beck Robbins, Becoming Happy. Come and say hi and message me and play. Let's play. I love play too, Marie.
Yay. Thank you so much, Beck, for being on the show. It's been such a pleasure chatting with you. And I'm feeling like I revealed too much of myself, but that's what I do. That's what I do every week on this show, is I talk about my life, because I feel like it you know, there's always at least one person out there who can relate to what you're saying, right?
It's the biggest gift you can give, and that's why we love you.
Aww, thank you.
So I will send you that information, girlfriend.
All right. Thanks, Beck. Well, I'll see you soon. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Again, that is Beck Robbins. You can find her at beckrobbins.com. This has been Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I am your host, Marie Bernard, and I'm just getting an ad ready to go here. So coming up in just a moment is Parts Unknown. I want to send my love to you. I hope that you have a fabulous week. Be well. I love you so much. Namaste.